From Headstuff Studios in Dublin, welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast of words, Irish, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Tara O'Shea.
I'm Emer Duffy.
And I'm Padraig Quibonic.
And I'm delighted to have you all with us today. It is unconditional, my delight, for having you all here today.
Under what circumstances would it be conditional? Would it be conditional if we weren't nice to you, for example?
I would say now that I would invite you on my podcast if you I would invite you on my podcast if you spoke Irish and were funny.
I'm neither of those things.
I'm only kidding. No, you're only joking. You're Irish, okay.
Sorry.
Hey-o. Okay. You would be Ryder if you spoke Irish.
Yeah, that is something you could say to somebody.
And it wouldn't.
I've often pulled that line in coppers.
You would be Ryder if you spoke Irish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come back to me when you got a shave or two, yeah?
the poet and educator and the founder of the bilingual poetry night, Rec, invented the term the Gaelcorn, which is when you instantly become attracted to someone you weren't attracted to before because you find out that they've got Irish.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I think I've got a bit of a Gaelcorn. didn't realise that he had Gaelge.
Best word I've ever heard. Wow. It's relatable.
It's like when you find out that like Brendan Gleeson speaks Irish. Oh, well, he is kind of sexy in a sort of a...
So it's...
give me that ginger bear sort of a way.
I feel like Patter's questioning everything here at the corner of the studio. I feel like we need to just cut his mic and just...
let me be with myself and my thoughts for a while.
To use the Inish Graw terminology, I just feel there's a bit of a connection if someone speaks Irish.
Is there... I haven't watched Love Island.
Inish Graw. I don't know what this Love Island you speak of is. I've only watched Inish Graw.
Oh my god, I never put two and two together. And
Inish Graw.
Love Island, never mind. Okay.
Ilan and Graw, Inish Graw. I get that there's a program called Love Island, but beyond that, I don't get the reference. I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
For Christ's sake, the World Cup has been on.
I know.
Around about the same time.
I know.
Really. Love Island is 9 o'clock every night.
I didn't know that. Also, I'm like.
All right.
Anyway,
I'm in my mid-30s and I have a kid. I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Like.
Bearing in mind that people can often listen to podcasts months and months after they're recorded and will have no idea what current television programs
are. They will have
no
idea what a World Cup is.
Yes, indeed. I mean, but I don't know. What's important is, though, we are going to broach a topic today. This is a topic that a lot of people have asked us about for a long time. And I decided that now that the show has been running for a while, we can finally broach it now that people have an idea of what Motherfucklore is and isn't. We're going to talk about the Mo Canealach.
Yeah.
It is sometimes, and recently Alan Maguire, the presenter of Juvenalia, was curating the Motherfucklore account on Twitter.
And can I interject and say he did an excellent job. I really, really enjoyed it. He spoke about his personal journey on Duolingo. He spoke about his own sort of relationship with the Irish language within the education system, which is his own context for it. It was a really, really great curation for a week. Really, really enjoyed it.
I think so too. I was really happy in that. And I knew he was wary about speaking a bit of Irish or using a bit of Irish online because he was concerned with his ability, but he gave it a stab and it was... I think sent out a really good message to other learners, and I was delighted. One of the points he made was that it wasn't so much that the Mo Canealach is difficult, so much as it often is learned at the point when people start giving up at Irish, that gap, that overlap between secondary school and primary school.
Yeah, it's kind of the last thing taught at primary school level, or at least it should be, the last grammatical piece of Irish sense. Emer has just thrown out the Universal Studio sign for "you deal with this one, Patter." She's just grabbed a Haribo and started eating it. So she's
chewing away from the microphone, so they can't pick it up. They have to cut my mic so I can't talk.
Which is sound nice one.
You're welcome.
So
I would be delighted to answer this question, but I'm too busy eating my sweets.
Eating a Haribo, I mean, kids and grown ups love them so. The Mo Canealach has this reputation as being this big scary thing, and the fact of the matter is the only reason it has that is it's the thing that people hear about and don't quite learn because they've given up on learning Irish at that point. And when we sat down with Ellen, when you and I, Derek, sat down with Ellen and Alan from Juvenalia, we talked about this idea that you actively learn how to speak Irish in primary school, and when you get to secondary school, there's and understanding that you've learned it all. Now it's time to start reading poetry and writing essays. And there's that sort of between those two stools sits the Mokani look. So while it's a very, very simple, it's a really, really simple grammatical concept. In many people's minds, it's that big grammatical concept I was never able to get over, or I was never able to learn, or I was never taught properly. So it's this big scary thing. I mean, when we were talking about this, when we were sending sort of WhatsApps to each other, it's like, yeah, I think it's time to tackle the Mo. I was like, stop trying to make the Mo happen, because there are so many different Moana in Irish. Yeah. There's the Mo Ardahuch, the Mo Fahituk, and they're way more difficult than the Mo Canelach.
I got some Mo Sizzlach.
And the Mo Sizzlach. That is an A1 Simpsons reference, and there is a shitposting group online that is going to love you for it, but I fear that not many people are going to get that.
Hopefully one or two. But, okay, so calling it the Mo as an abbreviation isn't great, but one of the reasons I'm particularly delighted to be joined by you both today is you both also have an additional European language to English.
And we're both class.
And you're both class, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a bit more stylish when the Perrys arrive.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're currently killing it. Style-wise, killing it.
Slaying the game.
Slaying the game, no less. But yeah, Emer speaks Spanish. I speak a little bit of German, and they have conditional tenses as well. But to be fair, English has a conditional tense, so this shouldn't sound like rocket science to anybody.
This English with the future tense and the conditional in English, there's the adding would or will, and as opposed to, it doesn't exist, it's not a grammatical function, it's the addition of they add an extra verb to express different tenses.
Yeah, well, I mean, English is a, you know, notoriously lazy language.
Yeah.
English is a funny one to use as kind of your marker when it comes to conjugating verbs, because it's not heavily inflected, you don't get sort of a different word for each part of the verb, let's say. You don't get a different word for each conjugation. So it's a difficult one to use as your kind of
If you're coming at it from the point of view as a native English speaker, you've also just never really learned how to do the conditional sense. It just makes sense inside your head.
Exactly.
To say, if I win the lotto, you know, if I won the lotto, I would be happier than I am now. Just makes more sense to you, you know. Whereas, you know, in Irish, da mu óing an cranchar na shunta, which is the essay title everybody gets for the Leaving Cert. Cadi yenha da muoha an canachar na shunta. Da muoing an canachar na shunta veing avad nisa salt an almar thalma inish. It's, you know, makes sense to me. But yeah, conjugating is probably a little bit tricky. You've got to put a little bit of effort into learning it, but no more than learning the I'm sure kata or the I'm sure ashtanach or the I'm sure lahruch, as you should do when you're putting together those building blocks of a language to put into your toolkit.
The most famous user of the English, I guess, conditional tense, the English Mokaneel could be Beyonce between If You Liked It, You Should Have Put a Ring on It, but also the song If I Were a Boy.
I remember, actually, shout out to Miss Darrigan, if you are listening and if you're still in the ISK back down in Kerry. She came into us, I was only in maybe third year at the time. She came in and she was saying in her previous school that to teach the Mokaneelach, up on the board, she had everyone translate bits from If I Were a Boy by Beyonce. So they learned the Mokaneelach, and I thought that was brilliant.
As soon as you brought up Beyonce, I reached for the Haribos. That was my sign for Emer, you go get those one.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at, say, If I Were a Boy, and this all, she lists off the various things she would do if she were a boy. So this is the thing which makes...
she'd get paid a fair wage. Wouldn't get whistled at in the street.
And this is the...
she wouldn't have to fight for rights to her own body in this country. Anyway.
These are the things. And this is where the Mokaneelach really comes in, and that there's two parts of a conditional sentence, in which case you have the condition, if I were a boy, and then you have what the bot...
I am just hoping you're building up to some big T.G. Lurgan-style translation of If I Were a Boy, and I'm going to love it, because I bet your singing voice is glorious.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well,
that's like I'm in mass.
Is that not pop music?
You went for a mass style there.
It sounded a bit like I was in mass there.
Okay.
Is there much Beyonce at mass these days?
I don't know. I haven't been in a while.
So there are two parts. There's a condition.
I would go to mass if they were playing Beyonce.
Yeah.
There you go. Ranga Raffrin. Yeah. Da Shainakshid. Da Shainadish. Beyonce.
There we go.
Well, looks done. We'll see you next week where we'll be talking about
it. Hello. My name is Alison Spittle. I'm a podcaster. Podcaster, yeah. That's the... Okay. That's the one. We got it? Hi. Wait there. Hi, my name is... Hello. I don't know why I'm sounding American. Hi, I'm Alison Spittle. This is my actual accent. I present the Alison Spittle Show. You can hear that every Wednesday on the... Not every Wednesday. Don't be too keen. You can hear that every second Wednesday on the Headstuff Podcast Network, which you can hear on headstuff.org. Thank you.
The reputation that the Mokanilk has as being difficult. You obviously better speak German, and you speak Spanish. Both of these languages have conditional tenses.
They do.
Yeah.
Without getting too deep into it, because maybe just give a survey or an amuse-bouche of the conditional of these languages.
Well, in German, like German being a very structured and logical language, it's, unlike English, which is crazy. It makes a lot of sense. You have two key building blocks to build a conditional sentence in German. You need to change the verb in use. And so, for example, it would be better if I were richer. Would be is wäre besser, wenn ich reicher wäre. So what you end up with is changing of the structure of the sentence by putting the end verb all the way back to the back of the sentence in the second subordinate clause. You use the conjunction wenn, which would be if, or were I richer in this instance, and you have this specific grammatical tense for the conditional mode, which is wäre, is wäre besser instead of es ist besser, it is better. So it is better because I am richer. Mm-hmm. Would be es ist besser weil ich reicher bist. But es wäre besser wenn ich reicher war. Is it would be better if I were richer. So I'm not sure if that makes an awful lot of sense to a native English speaker, because again, in English, it's dead simple. You just sort of put in a would and an if. And we have a tendency, particularly in Hiberno English, but in spoken English around the world, to sort of soften the conditional tense, because we don't say, realistically in Dublin, if you and I were sitting around the pub, we wouldn't say it would be better were I richer. Mm. We'd say if I was. It'd be better if I was richer.
Yeah.
This is all just a big plea for money, by the way. So my GoFundMe page is...
the link to my PayPal.
paypal.me/poorguelgo.
Anyway, in Spanish, I know people can be very definitive in Spanish, but sometimes they can say something that has a condition in it.
Yes. So the Spanish conditional tense is quite similar to the Irish in the extent that it inflects into the verb.
Okay.
So it's not like, let's say, in English where you would say I would or I should or whatever. It's you inflect this ending into your verb. So obviously then with Spanish, you're breaking down your verb endings into the last kind of two letters of the verb. So you've got AR, ER or IR. Verbs.
Yeah.
Let me see. Hablar would be to speak, so that ends in AR, so that's an AR verb. And then creer is to believe, and that ends in ER, so that's an ER verb. And then, I don't know, what's the other one? Vivir is to live, that ends in IR, so that's an IR verb. So based on the last two letters of your verb, you then know your verb endings, which you would inflect inwards, and then that is how you make your conditional tense.
Oh.
Yeah. It's very, very exciting.
That is exciting.
Which is very similar to how you do in Irish. Because you conjugate. And so to go back to our core text, if I were a boy, Knowles, 2000 and, I don't know what year she wrote it. I'm trying to cite it like an academic text.
Probably like 2013, I believe, beforehand?
I think, if I remember correctly, that was 2007, because that was the famous song, or that double single was the famous song that Kanye West went on stage to criticize Taylor Swift for not deserving her award.
That says maybe, but it was October 8th, 2008, it was released on the album Sasha Fierce, Beyonce's third studio album.
Oh.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Come on, good Wikipedia. back to the core text.
Okay.
Patter's actually lying. He knows all about Sasha Fierce. Mm. He's only pretending to be using Google right now.
Absolutely.
Because this is not a visual medium and you can't prove otherwise.
Exactly. You can't even see me dab. If I were a boy, I think I could understand.
Mm-hmm.
So in Irish we say, if I were, da maing, if I were a boy, da maing imavuchal. If you were a boy, da meha idawuchal. If he were a boy, which is kind of a reductive and redundant sort of a way of describing things, but da meach she in a wuchal. And if she were a boy, da meach she. So you conjugate the verb. You conjugate the verb, but you do it in a specific tense, the mokanilok, the dreaded, scary mokanilok. And it's not that difficult.
It's just an ending, really.
It's an ending. It's a beginning as well, because you use da, dia fada, which is sort of one way of saying if in Irish. And then you use an oru.
Okay.
So, and then you use the same, mode, the same sort of I'm sure the mokini look for the second verb in the sentence in the other clause, which in this case is I think I could understand. So hiapum gomeing inan ahishkint. Hiapum gomeing inan ahishkint. Kiapin she gomech she inan ahishkint.
Okay.
Gomech she gomefa inan ahishkint. Gomechmwid no go. Gamemit, gamech shivshe in an tishkin. So you just conjugate the verb in a certain way. So I mean, it's a bit more like the Spanish than it is the English or the German, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're not like the obviously the way in English that you would indicate that you are discussing kind of like a concept or whatever, that it's a conditional. You're saying I would. So you've got that clear indicator right there before the verb ever comes into the scene. You know, I would win the lotto if I paid my money this week, or I would kill someone if they
touch your hair.
I was gonna say ate my last biscuit, but okay, let's go that extreme.
Hold on, ate my last biscuit isn't extreme.
It is, but I mean, all right, whatever. Let's not get bogged down in these things. Whereas,
all I'm saying is he deserved it, and he's dead. So we just need to move on.
There we go. And nobody eat my biscuits. Whereas when you're discussing kind of like with the Spanish language, like you're hearing the start of the verb, and you're like, oh, what's it gonna be? Are we looking in the past tense, we're looking in the future tense, we're looking in the present tense, we're looking in the conditional tense, and it's not until like the end where you get that kind of like, wait, we know what we're talking about now. It's conditional.
The big reveal.
Yeah, it's like a drum roll in the middle of the verb, and then it's like, hey, verb ending. Yeah. So,
and we say, you mentioned prepare, we say da for if, not ma. So it's
ma is a way of saying it in a different tense, like, you know what I mean? Ma ta ukrasert, if you are hungry.
Yeah.
Da mech ukrasert, if you were hungry. So, you know, we've got different levels of conditional. Now, in the mokanilok, in the conditional tense itself, that's always da. Da mech okrasert hurhing biachit. I would give you food. Were you hungry? I would give you my life. Were you hungry?
But not the last biscuit.
He would not take my last biscuit.
I'd give you my last Rolo. That's what I'd do for you, pal.
Jesus.
There you go.
Do people still eat Rolos?
Yeah.
Wow, Rolos are class.
They're fab.
I just haven't seen them in a while. I've always liked them.
It's because Patter's eaten them all.
Yeah, it's true. Only the last ones. I eat the last one out of every packet and just leave them in the Circle K. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the last one.
Yeah. But sooner or later, if you keep picking at the Rolos, they all become the last Rolos.
It's true, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It depends. Anyway.
Do you remember that years ago they were giving out, like near Valentine's Day, they're giving out like my last Rolo. A single Rolo in a gold box.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like, so you could give someone your last Rolo without having to eat an entire packet of Rolos.
That's adorable. A lad actually once bought me a packet of chocolate Hobnobs. So there we go.
An entire packet of chocolate hobnobs. He just knew the way to your heart.
He did. It's actually probably the only thing that a lad has ever gotten me. But there we go. There we go. It was it was very well appreciated. I'm sure he's not listening, but if you are, thank you.
And ever since then, you've been so protective of biscuits that you're driven to murder when someone eats the last one.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Emer would kill you if you ate the last biscuit. It's like the niece hall on Riska Yernach. Waroch Emerhu.
And Hobnob Dernach.
And Hobnob Yernach.
Oh, of course. Hobnob Yernach.
Hobnob being, of course, Bwininshkinach. Feminine.
If any of...
Blas na Hobnibwe being the genitive case of Hobnob.
The taste of a Hobnob.
The taste of a Hobnob. Blas na Hobnibwe.
And if any of the Mother Folklore team appear like to be murdered in the next kind of few months, I just want to say right now it was not me. I didn't do it.
Get your alibi in early.
So Hobnob Hjachloide.
Hobnob Hjachloide. Absolutely, yeah. I don't know if Hobnob's masculine or feminine, by the way, but
I was thinking that.
It's much nicer. There's an old trick I got out that I was taught by a university lecturer years ago. He's going to kill me now for giving away all his secrets. But what somebody, if you ever mix up, like coming from an English speaking background where you don't have masculine, feminine nouns, and even if you do, they don't have an influence on any other words in the sentence. So there's no chez-vu in English. So if you mess up and you accidentally put a chez-vu on a word, you shouldn't have said so.
Would kill you.
No more killing. Why can't the killing
end? That is a grave offence.
Why can't the killing end? Let's say, for example, the word car, which is Ferinchkinuk, right? But you accidentally say on har instead of on car, and somebody corrects you on it. You can just turn around and go, oh, you put that, you know, Sagailtuk Tashi Buninchkinuk Sakhint. Like down in the Gaeltuk, it's usually feminine in spoken Irish.
Oh, wow.
And you can get away with murder that way.
That's very good.
Murder, yeah. I don't know. Yes, I got that.
That's going to be my pinned tweet now.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm letting in everyone on my secrets.
You've got to. We owe your lecturer a great debt of gratitude.
Yeah, I'm not even going to name and shame him because he'd be so embarrassed.
Or her.
Because they'd be so embarrassed.
They would be embarrassed.
If I were to give away all their secrets. Vech noire orhu, da durhing amach na ruin erfad.
Can I just pay Padder to like follow me around and translate everything I say just in a more dramatic like sense behind me?
I think that's only fair.
Only in the Mokanilic though. Only when you use the conditional tense.
Yeah, absolutely. So Padder's going to sit behind me and work now the next day, and I'll be on a conference call, and like that delay that you sometimes get in a Skype call, I'm just going to blame it on that. But in fact, it's Padder just translating everything that I say behind me. Class.
Fantastic.
Still waiting for you to say something conditional, and then I'll just
Be very happy if that.
Ving on the host, Domech Padder against Rumachuid Aberty.
Very good. I feel like there should be like a fire lighting in the background, and it should be like dark and stormy outside, and the doors were like burst open, and there's like Padder, but it's like a rural Irish cottage, and he's like tracked me down to like translate what I've been saying.
Yeah. It's the most disappointing ending to a Mills and Boone novel ever. And he translated everything I said from that day on.
Class.
Wearing a wool jumper made out of turf.
And nothing from the waist down.
Good grief. Exactly what you're wearing now.
Just a beard to cover your shame.
My beard's not that long.
Do we have any other conditional views? I was thinking, and I've mentioned this before, that you know, in English we tend to think of the with grammar after you get to the tenses that have ghosts named after them in A Christmas Carol. Can get into trouble, obviously, you think past, present, and future, and once you get beyond that. But then I realized Father Dineen, our old pal, and then Father Dineen,
my good buddy,
translated A Christmas Carol into Irish, and he didn't add an extra ghost for the Mokanilic.
Yeah, because it's not that big a deal. You know, this is the one thing that we've been trying to hammer home maybe over the entire lifespan of this podcast today is that these big scary ghosts, the Tishal Gynneduc, the Mokani, look, these they're just not that vital. They're not that important. And once you do get around to cracking them, they're not that difficult. And it's just the sort of the place they occupy as a bête noire in the collective psyche of the one-time aspirational Irish learner means that they're just this big scary thing that nobody wants to approach. But at the end of the day, they're a lot more like the ghost of Christmas present in A Muppet Christmas Carol. Just lovely and friendly and nice. Question for you, right?
Yes.
You can take one film, any film.
Okay.
Right? And you have to, you can replace the entire cast except for one human actor with Muppets, and the whole film has to happen the way it does. What film is it going to be?
I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon and Danny Glover.
So brilliant. Brilliant. So like basically he's got a mad Muppet as...
Yes.
That's pretty fun.
This one's tough. I want to come up with something like mad obscure, and I really want to say like Fatal Deviation.
Fatal Deviation with just Mikey Graham from Boyzone.
Exactly. Yeah, cutting up cocaine with a Tesco club card. filmed in 1998 in Trim. It is Ireland's first and probably only full-length martial arts film.
Yeah.
And it's all up on YouTube. I would highly recommend you all go watch it because it is the most iconic thing that I've ever watched in my entire life.
And, I mean, it is absolutely, it's the Citizen Kane of Irish cinema.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's Ireland's number one best kung fu movie.
You made me look bad, and that's not good.
quotable lines. You know what film I'm taking for my Muppet remake?
What?
I'm taking Reservoir Dogs, and I'm leaving Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi?
Yeah, I'm leaving Steve Buscemi in, and everyone else is played by Muppets.
Even Mr. Blonde.
Yeah, especially Mr. Blonde. He's probably going to be Ralph the dog.
There's a thought.
Now Steve Buscemi on his own, surrounded by Muppets, reenacting Reservoir Dogs. That's just my dream. You know why I'm saying this?
Wait.
Because the Mokani, look, the conditional tense, all films would be better if they were Muppet films. Vech gaxgan on these far, da mechshid in a Muppet's gone on.
Would Muppet not be like Muppet?
Muppet. It would be Muppet.
Well,
in a scone in Muppet.
We know from MC Muppet.
We do know from MC Muppet. Yeah. So, okay.
One more.
Vech gaxgan on these far, da mechshid in a scone in Muppet.
The Snapper.
Oh.
As on an all Muppet version, except for
Sharon Curley.
Sharon, yes, of course.
Yeah, and baby Georgina when she comes.
Well, yeah, if she had a Muppet baby, that'd be freaky. Because obviously, Georgie
Burgess is going to be a Muppet, so she could have a Muppet baby.
It could be a half Muppet.
I think, Gonzo. It raises a lot of questions. No. Georgie Burgess isn't going to be played by Gonzo. Okay. No, Gonzo is pure and Gonzo is nice.
Actually, now that you mention it, yes, Gonzo would be all wrong.
Yeah, Sam the Eagle.
Sam the Eagle as Georgie Burgess,
yeah.
That's a terrifying thought.
A1, Sharon. Good girl, Sharon.
Is that film Alien?
Alien. Yeah. Alien with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Who are you leaving in? It becomes a lot less scary when the alien that's licking her face is made out of plush.
It would have to be Tom York who'd be the human one. Actually, no, John Hurt, who looked like Tom York when he's younger.
Of course. John Hurt, yeah.
Yeah. In that film, I always think it's Tom York when I'm watching it.
maybe Love Actually.
Who are you leaving in?
Oh.
Alan Rickman, obviously.
No.
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 The Portuguese housemaid that Whatchamacallit falls in love with.
Colin Firth is obviously Fozzie. Yes. Fozzie Bear.
Or Notting Hill, but leave the Welsh guy. What's the Welsh guy's
name? Oh, Rhys Ifans.
Yeah.
Rhys Ifans. Leave Rhys Ifans. He's surrounded by Muppets. He wouldn't even notice.
I want him to have his own feature film.
Rhys Ifans?
Yeah.
He made Twin Towns, which is a good movie.
Yeah, but Welsh I wanted to be like Notting Hill spin-off.
Oh, right. You want to be that character?
Yeah.
A spin-off. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think Notting Hill was that good. I don't think it was in spin-off territory. Like,
I know, but he was brilliant.
He was good.
Like, comic relief. Anyway. Okay.
So
I would enjoy that if I were to see it.
There.
There you are.
Wanhing tanavashin da vekinge.
So, I think we've all learned a lot today.
Or probably not.
I think we've all learned a lot today, and I want to thank Patter and Emer for coming along and giving me their unconditional attention and contributing so much. And so until the next time, it is a slán from me.
It's a slán, Wemsha.
It's a slán from me.
Catch you next time.
Hi guys, it's Emer from today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, we would really appreciate it if you would be so kind as to give us a nice like, give us a rate, give us a share, give us a comment, send us some nice things. You can catch us all on our individual Twitter pages or at the Irish Four or at Mother Folklore. You can also email us. We are motherfolklore@headstuff.org. Thanks to Brian, our producer. He always does a great job every week. And thanks to Kirsten for doing our snazzy artwork. A new episode of Mother Folklore comes out every Friday, so be sure to catch us next week.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
And then she says, oh, towel. Oh, my name's Derek and I'm a VHI customer.